Welcome to Your Wish Fulfilled. And in this podcast, we're going to dive into a mini series on the game of life and how to play it. This is a classic book. It's a book by the late Florence Scovel Shinn. And she was a widely known for many years as an artist, illustrator, metaphysician, and lecturer. And she helped thousands of people through her great work of healing and assisting in solving their problems. So this is one of these classic law of attraction manifestation books from back in the 1930s, 1940s. And we're going to go through it chapter by chapter, going into the experience. I'll read a little bit from it, share a little bit from it, and how we can use this in our lives. It's a fascinating book. I was actually doing a space clearing of my house, as you might have heard from a previous session. And I went into the garage where I have my second library. And I just pulled this off the shelf and I thought, oh wow, this is fascinating. It's just one of these things that never really quite made it to my awareness. And as I've been going through this, it is just packed with fascinating and deep insights. So chapter one, let's just dive into this, is called The Game, because we can either see life as this random thing that we're having to put up with, which is not a very inspiring way to live. Or we can see it as a game of life. And the more we feel that we are playing a game, the more active we become. We actually become players, conscious players in this game of life, rather than passive victims of things occurring to us. We become the creators of our life. So I'll read you a little bit from the book. Most people consider life a battle, but it's not a battle. It's a game. It's a game, however, which cannot be played successfully without knowledge of spiritual law. And the Old and New Testaments give the rules of the game with wonderful clearness. Now, this is coming from a Christian tradition, but these same principles, by the way, can be found in all the great religions and also metaphysical teachings, spiritual teachings. So I'm just going to, you know, just leave it what it is, but also add and include some other things as well. It is taught that the great game is giving and receiving. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This means that whatever a man sends out in word or deed, in return to him, what he gives, he will receive. If he gives hate, he will receive hate. If he gives love, he will receive love. If he gives criticism, he will receive criticism. If he lies, he will be lied to. If he cheats, he will be cheated. We are taught also that the imagining faculty plays a leading part in the game of life. Keep thy heart or imagination with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. That means that what you imagine sooner or later externalizes in your affairs. I know a man who feared a certain disease. It was a very rare disease and difficult to get, but he pictured it continually and read about it until it manifested in his body, and he died, the victim of distorted imagination. Isn't this fascinating? So many people are imagining the things that they don't want to happen, imagining illnesses, imagining things happening to them that are disturbing, imagining people being nasty to them, imagining being a victim of things, and then they end up creating it. We see to play successfully the game of life, we must train the imagining faculty. A person with an imagining faculty trained to imagine only good brings into his life every righteous, pure desire of his heart, health, wealth, love, friends, perfect self-expression, and the highest ideals. The imagination is called the scissors of the mind. It is ever cutting, cutting, day by day. The pictures that you see, sooner or later, you will meet them, your own creations in your outer world. To train the imagination successfully, you must understand the workings of your mind. The Greeks said, "Know thyself." There are three departments of the mind: the subconscious, conscious, and superconscious. And we'll get into this in a minute. The subconscious is simply power without direction. It's like electricity. It doesn't know what it's directed to do. It has no power of induction. Whatever you feel deeply or imagine deeply is impressed upon the subconscious and carried out in minutest detail. Isn't that fascinating? So the subconscious mind doesn't have a conscience. It's just going to use the electricity. It's going to use the power to move in that direction, whatever it is. It's impartial. So if we think about fear and terrible things happening, then all that energy is going towards creating fear and terrible things. If it goes towards success and love and wealth, then all that energy goes in that direction. It's impartial. For example, a woman I know, when a child, always made believe she was a widow. She dressed up in black clothes and wore a long black veil, and people thought she was very clever and amusing. She grew up and married a man with whom she was deeply in love. In a short time, he died, and she wore black and a sweeping veil for many years. The picture of herself as a widow was impressed upon the subconscious mind, and in due time worked itself out regardless of the havoc created. You know, this reminds me of my mother, actually. She's always wanted just to be someone who's looked after and taken care of, and wouldn't it be nice to just be an old lady? So she aged prematurely and has kind of been living that life for a long time. And I've tried to help her get out of it, but like, if that image is there strong enough for enough time, it's very hard to undo it. So the subconscious mind is just taking on any of these visions that we have, feelings that we have, and it gets impressed into this massive machine. It's a huge power, the subconscious. It's like a massive machine, and this energy, this power is being directed towards that aim. So whatever we think about, the subconscious goes hard to work day and night to make it happen. And it doesn't care whether we're thinking about good things or bad things, happy things or unhappy things. It's just going to go hard core, full steam ahead, right? Cranked all the way up. So this is why we need to be extremely, extremely careful in the game of life, what we are feeding our subconscious. So now she talks a little bit about the conscious mind. What is the conscious mind? The conscious mind has been called mortal or carnal mind. It is the human mind that sees life as it appears to be. It sees death, disaster, sickness, poverty, and limitation of every kind, and it impresses the subconscious. You can also understand the conscious mind as what we are conscious of, what we are aware of. The subconscious is something that is a deeper part of us. You've probably seen that image of the iceberg. The conscious mind is there, a little bit poking out the top of the water, and then there's this huge bit underneath, which is the subconscious. And she also talks about the superconscious, which we'll get to. But the conscious mind is the things that we're aware of. And it's normally seen as only about 5% of our mind is actually the conscious mind. But the conscious mind is the things that we are thinking about. That's where we have control. That's where we can imagine things. That's where we can choose our thoughts and the feelings and the images. So the conscious mind is extremely important. The superconscious mind is the God mind within each one. It is the realm of perfect ideas. In it is the perfect pattern spoken by Plato, the divine design. For there is a divine design for each person. And if you don't know what she means about Plato, there's a Plato's cave, and he says that basically you can read about this, you can watch a video about it, Plato's cave. Essentially, he says, imagine that there is this cave and there are these men with a fire behind them, and they're facing a wall and they can only see the shadows in front of them from their own shadows, and they think those shadows are real. They think that is the real world because they don't know anything else. They've been chained to this wall, looking ahead, seeing the shadows. And one day, one of these men is finally uncaged and taken out. And he goes out of the cage for the first time. And once he adjusts the light, he's amazed. There's this whole world of amazing real things and trees and skies and flowers and colors. And he's never seen anything like it. He's been in a cave his whole life. And he rushes back into the cave and tries to tell his other prisoners, you know, there's this whole world out there. This isn't the real world. Those aren't, they're just shadows. This is not real. And the other men think he's insane. They refuse to believe him. And they are lost in their limited consciousness. So what she's saying here is that there is this world of perfect ideas, this pristine higher self, this divine way of living, our true destiny, our pure intention, and that's the superconscious, the perfect pattern, the divine design. There is a place that you are to fill, and no one else can fill something you are here to do, which no one else can do. There is a perfect picture of this in the superconscious mind, and it flashes across the consciousness as an unattainable ideal, something too good to be true. In reality, it's your true destiny, your destination, flashed to you from infinite intelligence, which is within yourself. So there's this deeper part of you that has access to this higher version of yourself, this pure you, this real destiny, these really important things that you're here to do, the real desires that you have, the pure things. Most people, she says, however, are in ignorance of their true destinies and are striving for things and situations which do not belong to them and would only bring failure and dissatisfaction if attained. This is absolutely critical to understand because, you know, this podcast, Your Wish Fulfilled, is about fulfilling your purest desires. But if you come to this with what she's talking about here, these things that are not ours, they don't belong to us. So many of us have been brainwashed. We've all been brainwashed by the media, by marketing companies, by television, by movies, by, you know, you can't watch millions of advertisements. We've seen millions of ads, all of us, right? If you live in the West and you have a phone and you've got access to a screen and you go on anything, after a while, we get absorbed in millions, not thousands, millions of ads, millions of messages, millions, right? And so, of course, some of the things that we think we want aren't really what we want. They're just things that have been programmed into us. Seeds have been planted in our mind. And we think, oh, wouldn't it be great if I had this? Wouldn't it be great if I had that? So one of our main jobs in the game of life, this is why this is chapter one, is understanding what is your true destiny and make sure that you're striving for things that are true, that are your destiny, that will actually bring you joy. Because if we attain the things that are programmed into us from society, we actually won't be happy. We really won't be. It won't make any difference to us. For example, a woman came to me and asked me to speak the word that she should marry a certain man with whom she was very much in love. She called him AB. I replied that this would be a violation of spiritual law, but I would speak the word for the right man, the divine selection, that the man who belonged to her by divine right. I added, if AB is the right man, you can't lose him, and if he isn't, you'll receive his equivalent. She saw this man frequently but made no headway in their friendship. One evening she called and said, do you know, for the last week, he hasn't seemed to be wonderful to me. I replied, maybe he's not the divine selection. Another man may be the right one. Soon after that, she met another man who fell in love with her at once and who said she was his ideal. In fact, he said all the things that she'd always wished AB would say to her. She remarked, it is quite uncanny. She soon returned his love and lost interest in AB. This shows the law of substitution. A right idea was substituted for a wrong one, therefore there was no loss or sacrifice involved. Doesn't this remind you of many things in your own life? I want this, I want that, I want this. So many things, they're not really what we want, and we aren't going to get them anyway, and they're disturbing to achieve. And then there's this other option, which is even better. Right, whether it's in relationships or physical things or situations or clients or whatever it is, right? She mentions here from the Bible, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he said the kingdom was within us. The kingdom is the realm of right ideas or divine pattern. Now, this is an extremely deep point. In other words, face the sun, face the source, face the real nourishment, the spiritual nourishment, and all things will be given to you from that space. When we align ourselves with the highest good for all, our highest destiny, the most beautiful version of ourselves, and the most divine life we can live, the highest, most wonderful life, the purest life, then all these fascinating things will be given to us to support that. But when we're running around after our shadow, chasing all these things that we've been programmed to chase, then even if we get them, we won't be happy. And this is why, let's be honest, how is it that in the Western world, we've never in the history of humanity had more stuff? I mean, it's completely ridiculous, right? You can go on Amazon and it's just endless, and it's so many cheap things you can buy and all these things. How come people aren't in ecstatic joy? Ecstatic joy all day long, because it's not what we want. You should have that, you should get one of those, what about this. So you have all this stuff, they have to get rid of it, clean it all up. So when we align with our highest superconscious divine visions and we connect with the source, the higher power, the source of nourishment, that ocean of love, the feeling of attainment, then all things are given to us. So we're going to leave it there for now. We're going to come back to the rest of this chapter in the next session, part 2. But for now, just tune into this. It's a game of life. And that which we impress on our subconscious mind will be activated. And our job is to discover what is our highest ideal, the pattern, the perfect pattern. What is that? The perfect picture. The true destiny. What is your true destiny? Because you can manifest all kinds of things, but if you manifest things that are not really going to make you happy, what's the point, right? You're going to get them and then you'll say, oh, well, what's next? So the first step in the game of life is, what is it that you really, truly, heartfully, heart on, you know, hand on heart, heart and soul, what is it? What is it really? What is your highest ideal? The perfect pattern, the divine design for you. Your dharma, your destiny. Why don't you take a few days, you know, before the next session comes out, before you listen to the next one, just to tune into this. Even if you think you know what it is, this is something to go back to again and again, just to make sure. Is my desire a pure desire? And pure means, is it going to bring you joy? Is it actually going to satisfy your heart and soul in a real, sincere, meaningful way where you can feel genuinely content? We've all manifested things in our life already that didn't make us happy, right? We already know about this. How many times have we bought stuff? We thought, yeah, I really need this thing. And then you never use it, or it doesn't mean anything and you get rid of it, or it just sits around. Or you get in a relationship and you're like, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? This is a disaster. So this is such a deep thing. What is your true highest destiny for you personally? You're a unique being, and the superconscious, this divine ideal, flashes across your conscious mind when you are relaxed. So when you're half asleep, when you're resting, going for a walk, in the shower, that's when you get these insights. So just be open to it. What is my highest ideal? When you ask the question, what is it? Then your subconscious will work on that. What is it that I really, really, really want? What is my purest desire? Tune into it. We're going to go back to this more in the next session. Thank you so much for your beautiful presence. I'm wishing you every success in discovering and manifesting your highest life. Talk to you soon.